Blog Talk Radio.
This is Eden is Kingdom, and Eden mindset is a kingdom mindset. Let me hear ya. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see you do your hands like this. Come on, let me hear you, let me hear you. Put your hands together like this. Come on. Here we go.
When God made man, he made a spirit. It was his plan that we be blessed. The tempter came. We were distracted. The tempter came. As we fell, we were need to live by our life.
Y'all gonna rock it out, you're getting ready to fight.
Let's get back to eating and live on top of the world. That's where we supposed to live at. And here's why. Because we're spiritual.
Let me feel a soul in it. How many spiritual people in the room tonight? I can't hear y'all. How many spiritual people in the room tonight?
You're not a natural being.
Come on, talk to them, say it.
Having a spiritual experience.
But you're
a spiritual being.
Yeah, yeah.
Living this natural experience.
Any witnesses out there?
You're not a natural being.
Oh, yeah.
Having a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual.
That's what we are. We are spiritual beings having these natural experiences. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask if Evangelist Sister William would prepare herself to give us a word of prayer. And then we're going to get into the lesson that's entitled In Christ. So at this time, I'm going to ask Sister William, she'd give us a word of prayer.
Yes, Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for Pastor Beasley. I thank you for all that is listening in on the podcast this day on internet or phone called in. Thank you for allowing me a day to get it right with you and walk with you to become closer to you. I thank you for watching over my family, friends, and foes. I thank you for all that you have done for me and will continue to do for me, being in my life, walking with me daily. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sister William, for that prayer. I like them quick, sharp like that. That's all right. Well, we've been talking about the different things we have to do to stay in Christ, because truly, being in Christ is a miracle. And the whole idea here is to strive, don't just survive. And if you're going to strive, you can't just survive. So don't strive just to survive. You want to strive because you don't want to survive. You want to go beyond survive, if that makes sense. So the understanding is this: thrive and don't just survive. Well, why you say that, preacher? Because I don't want you to cheat yourself out of what God can call yours. So the other thought here is, don't cheat yourself out of what's yours. Salvation is yours. Healing is yours. Deliverance is yours. It's all about how you apply your faith. And see, and that's the thing that we have to learn to do. How do we get to that place? And that's what this lesson is about, you know. God demands that we treat this body as a temple of the Holy Ghost. So we're to remain spiritual and not carnally. We're to have human experience. Now, people say what they want to say. You're going to have some human experiences. But the whole idea is to stay spiritual. Because you eat, that's a human experience. You think, that's a human experience. But we're spiritual, and that needs to be fed. Your spirit needs to be fed just like your body need that chicken and collard greens and dressing. Yeah, your body needs that. And your soul, which is your mind, it needs to be fed. Well, reading, meditating, watching news, watching current events, letting your mind go there and things of that nature. That's for your mind. That makes it grow. That keeps you sharp. I know when I was working at this senior place, they would have a memory class, and they would always keep those people on their toes with something that they were familiar with. They could keep their mind. Their mind needs to stay fed, especially when you get a certain age. Need to keep. There's another part of you which is spiritual, and that part of you needs to be fed. That's why the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And in order to see that become a reality, you must be in Christ. I just like the fact that many was going to come, but they to deceive many. The Bible says in Matthew 24:5, I'll let you read that, Evangelist William, if you be so kind. That's Matthew 24:5.
Matthew 24:5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Amen.
So you have many people operating in Christ, but they're deceiving people. They're deceiving people. That's why it's important that you get Amen. In Christ. Why? So you'll know. And that's what this lesson is about. Because we don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be deceived. So when I read, even in the book of Colossians, we were there the other way. It's important. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we continue to be mindful that that we stay in Christ, okay? So when we read scripture like Colossians 1 and 2, when we read scriptures like Colossians 1 and 4, it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. So where's your faith there? Is it in Christ? In other words, is it in the Spirit? And that's what we're talking about pretty much. So with that being said, I think we talked about you got to walk in forgiveness. You got to have Amen. Good worship. We were talking about those things. And yesterday, I think we left off about talking about forgiveness.
Amen.
From this day forward, keep your forgiveness list empty. Now, I'm going to say that again because I don't want everybody to catch this. Keep your forgiveness list empty. And before I go there, I do want to thank God for Evangelist Renee. She did get out of the hospital on last evening, and she gave me a call, and I thank God for it. And she was ecstatic, and of course she would be. And I was ecstatic and excited over the fact that she was released and she's home. And like anybody else, when your loved one come home, you're happy. That's a miracle. I'm going to tell you, because on your way out, you can catch stuff. You know, I've known people. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. I just thank God for that. I had to say that while I was thinking about it. But going back to forgiveness, we want to keep that list empty. Every time someone offends you, forgive immediately. Faith action could be the missing link to receiving Christ, to receiving your miracle. And here's what's going to back this up. In Romans 8, because I want you to start listening. We got to sharpen our listening skills. That's what we got to do. So in Romans 8, let me find this. I think it's Romans 8 and 14. Romans 8, 14 is what we're looking for here. Sometimes I just have to let the Lord just lead me. But I'm going to ask Evangelist Sister William, if she'll be so kind to read that from the King James Version.
Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen. See, thank you so much. This is a certainty. All who are guided by God's Spirit are children of God. And you say, how am I being guided? You're guided by the Word of God. So
Amen.
So John 6:63 said, the words I say, they are spirit and they are life. So when you know you're being guided and led by the Spirit of God, it's when you are in the Word of God and the Word of God says it. So we have to sharpen our listening skills. See, God wants to receive what you're offering, and he has something special instruction for each and every one of us. But you can't hear him if you're wrapped up in thinking about troubles, your needs, this, that, and the other. All the noise. Let me put it to you that way. All the noise. Sometimes you got to just get in a quiet place. Turn the TV off. You know, block out some of the noise. I listen to news all the time, but I have to block it out, and then I get to the Word of God. I was listening to a program this morning, well, I was doing other things. Y'all, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I do multi-purpose. I mean, I can do a lot of things, not just one thing. But I was doing some things, and the Spirit said to me, just turn that off. So God will have you to block out some things so you can hear him. Get away from maybe what you normally do. I mean, you may be like me. I like football and basketball and stuff. Sometimes God says, shut it down. Just get in the room and shut the lights off and meditate. Then he'll have me to get up and get into the Word of God. Sometimes you just got to clear yourself. See, if you're going to listen to God, you got to listen to him in his Word. And then, too, you got to be intentional about it. Intentional about getting quiet before the Lord. That's how you sharpen your listening skills and expect to hear from him.
Amen.
A lot of time miracles happens in people's lives because they're able to hear. Everybody can't hear. They didn't have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Well, some people think the church is a building, and the church is us. 1 Corinthians 6.
Mm-hmm.
If Christ the head, then we are his body. Well, they are not hearing. That's why they are become, well, I'm going to call them digits, because they're not growing. You won't grow until you start hearing God's voice. And you're only going to hear his voice through his word. He sent his son last days to speak to us. That's how he's speaking through us. It's through his son. That's why you need to be in Christ. I want to ask Evangelist Sister William Michelle Reed also Matthew 12:13.
Matthew 12:13, verse 12:13. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then saith he and the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
See, Pastor, are you able to read?
Yes, Pastor, I'm able to read. And that was Matthew 12 and verse 13.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. From the Message Bible, then he said to the man, hold out your hand. He held it out, and it was healed. Amen.
Amen.
See, what was going on here is, and there again now, when he said, stretch out your hand, Jesus healed this man with leprosy. And they would complain about it was on the Sabbath. Well, that man, he didn't care about that. He stretched his hand out. So when miracles happen, when does they happen? The moment you obey and you hear. So when the man stretched out his hand, about like over in John 9, we'll go to John 9 and 7, because I want y'all to see this whole thing. In fact, I read a couple of scriptures, and then I go back over them, because I want you to see how the miracle always happens the moment you hear and you receive it. That's when you know you're in Christ. That's when you know you're following the things of the Word of God. So in John 9 and 7.
Yes, Pastor. John 9 and 7, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seen. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. He said this, and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes, and said, go wash at the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. The man went and wash and saw. Amen.
Amen.
Now read John 2 and 7. We should see that. In John 2, St. John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 2 and verse 7.
Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. Six stoneware water pots were there, used by the Jews for ritual washing. Each held 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus ordered the servants, fill the pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Amen.
And then read John, what I said, 2. Read John 5 and 8. Read
okay.
John 5 and 8.
John 5 and 8, Jesus said unto them, to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, get up, take your bedroll, start walking. The man was healed on the spot. Amen.
Amen, amen. Okay.
Now, what all these scriptures have in common is this. When he said, stretch out your hand, when something happened right then when he told the man to go wash in the pool of Bethesda, something happened right then. When he had told them to fill the prayer pots to the brim, something happened right then. Let me tell you what they got in common. After they heard the instruction, the miracle preceded that, or precede the miracle. So once you hear, and this is how faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing. Once you hear in the Word of God, then the next thing, the moment you act on it, I want to be real clear with this. The moment you act on the Word of God, then you're going to see a miracle. Then you're going to see a person operating in Christ. The moment you operate when you hear it. Because you can't operate till you hear it. Once you hear, come, and you come, get just like with Jesus, the Bible says it was the third watch of the night. And Peter said, Lord, if that's you out there, because, you know, it was the third watch, because the first watch was from 6 to 9, the second watch was from 9 to 12, and the third watch was from 12 midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning. So it was dark. So Peter said, Lord, if that's you out there, didn't mean to come. And the moment Jesus said, come, Peter began to walk on the water. That's all I want you to see about that. I get all the other stuff, you know, yeah, but, you know, he said, I get all that. Here's what I want you to see. The moment you act on the Word of God, you got God's attention. You got his full attention.
Amen.
When he said, go wash, he had his full attention. When he said, pick up your mat and walk, see, these instructions always precede a miracle. It ain't going to happen until you get the instruction. So when he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and you hear that, look to be in Christ. Look for a miracle. Expect to hear from him. Then do whatever he tells you to do, and you will receive your miracle. Put it to you like that. Then you will, because you act on the Word of God. And the next thing I want to say is Mark 11:23. See, you'll have whatever you say. That's why it's important to get your conversation right. Get what comes out of your mouth is important, brothers and sisters.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's very important. Don't think it's just words. You're a powerful individual. You're spiritual, having human experience. So your words need to precede your action. In other words, you put it out there and then expect nothing less. When you start acting like you're God, then you're going to see this stuff come to fruition. That's why you just can't say anything. Once you start believing this and know that, hey, you got power to speak, and you start using that authority, like Mark 11:23, you'll have her to read that. Because he's speaking the language of faith. When you start speaking the language, there's only two ways. Yeah, Mark 11:23. I'll let you read that in a moment. But I want y'all to hear this first, then y'all can see this. Mark 11:23 will teach us how important our words are. There's only two ways.
Amen.
You're going to either speak the language of faith, or you're going to speak the language of doubt. You might say, oh, well, no, I didn't doubt. Well, you either believe in it or you're not. And think about what you're believing for. See? Yeah. So whatever comes out of your mouth, precede that, whatever that is, if it's healing, deliverance, or having another job, or having another career, or money, or whatever that human experience you need, should precede whatever come out of your mouth. Now, Mark 11:23 says what?
Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea,
and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the Message Bible, Jesus was matter of fact. Embrace this God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shackling, and it's as good as done. Amen.
Amen, amen.
It says he will have whatsoever he say. Not what somebody think mm-hmm. for you, not what somebody else say for you, but what you say, and you don't doubt that. A lot of us, we spit out words, and half of it we believe, half of it we don't. But the stuff you start believing in, that's what you're going to have. If you're speaking the language of faith, and that's what I'm talking about, begin to speak the language of faith. That's where victory is at. Because if you want to live every day in victory, I said this the other day, and I think it's worth saying, don't cheat yourself out of what's yours. What you say is yours. Don't cheat yourself out of that. Don't cheat yourself out of having a good night's rest. Don't cheat yourself out of having a peaceful night. Stop cheating yourself out of having a good life. You don't have to worry. People praying, oh, Lord. No. If you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Don't do both of them, because whatever you say is what you're going to have. That's what Mark 11:23 is saying here. Whatever you say, not what you feel, not what you think, but what you say is very important. So don't cheat yourself out of what's yours, okay? Well, we're going to kind of end it right there. Anybody have anything they want to share? Any comments? We'll go from there. Just press one. Anyone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Mark 11:23.
Evangelist Renee. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Is Pastor Rail does? She's getting ready to say something.
Okay.
Oh, I'm just thanking the Lord for another day's journey. He didn't have to wake me up this morning, but he did. I thank him for taking care of me. I always say, keep me from danger, seen and unseen. And I believe he's keeping me. I know he's keeping me. And I thank him. He put angels around me to protect me. And I just love my prayer family on here. I just love all of you. It's just so beautiful to serve the Lord, to not only just read his word, but to believe what you're reading.
Amen.
Like, Okay, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
That is my scripture. With God, all things are possible. You can't doubt him. Can't be doubting Thomas. You got to believe. And I know, I'm a child of God, and I know he's a healer, because he's done that for me. And I thank him. He's healed my body and told me to run on. I'm claiming Christ Jesus' name. Not totally healed yet, still got me on antibiotics, but I feel better, and I thank the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Pastor.
I apologize that somebody, I'm not even sure, but anyway, go ahead, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you so much,
Amen.
Evangelist Renee. Was you done? I'm sorry. Was you done?
Yes, sir.
Renee?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and we are so happy to hear your voice. I had spoke earlier about so happy to hear from you even last night or yesterday evening, but there was somebody trying to get on. I don't think that was Brother Robertson, but anyway, they both hung at the same time. But I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Amen. Well, don't apologize, Pastor. Amen. We need to hear that praise report. Praise God. But the scripture I was going to read was Mark 11:23 from the New Living Translation. So I'm going to start with 22 and 23. It says, "Then Jesus said to the disciples, 'Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up, thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart.'" Amen. That just sums it up to teaching.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Listen, brothers and sisters, it's all in what you say. That is so important. And that's how the faith language, and that's what the faith language is about. It's about what you say. You know what? You could speak over your doubts. Did you know that? You can speak over your doubts. So when the enemy brings you all of these doubts, you say, oh, the word of God says this, and you began to speak that. Don't just rest with that. Don't rest with the idea that, hey, I don't doubt. No, speak it. Speak it out of your life. Because it's in your mind, speak it. Don't just speak it out. The whole thing has to be spoken.
With God, okay,
see, if you'll just start speaking the doubt out, no, the word of God says I can have it. The word of God says it's mine. The word of God says greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. No, so when the doubt comes, learn to doubt your doubt. And the way you doubt, speak it out. Speak your doubt out of your life.
Amen.
Stop babysitting these doubts. Just speak it on out. But we got to learn to only speak the language of faith. The Bible is clear that our words have power to release life. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So whatever we say, whatever we say, so whatever you are living in today is likely the results of what words you had said on yesterday. So it's important. So find out how to stop, I don't want to say thinking your own ship, but find out how to stop speaking things that's not of the word of God. You, in other words, unite your speaking with the word of God. Until you reach the point of speaking faith every day, keep on speaking it. Keep on speaking doubt out.
Because faith is the substance of everything. Faith is the substance of things not seen.
No, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is
the evidence of things not seen.
Correct. So faith is your substance. So what is your substance?
The word.
The word of God. So what is substance? Substance is something you depend on. You rely on. Can anybody talk about substance? What kind of substance do you have? What's a substance in your life? What sustains you? That's what substance is. What's holding you?
God. I said, he's the pilot and I'm the co-pilot. He going to lead and direct. Now, if I stay on the path he want me to go on.
Well, what is that path? What is that path?
The path is to him, through the word.
The path is the word of God. See, the only thing God is going to accept is what his words say. So his word say, abide in my word, and my word abide in you. See, a lot of people don't know who God is. And so we have to share that with them on this broadcast. That has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the listeners. They need to hear how God operates. They need to hear that, hey, the way you stay in God is to stay in his word. How I know that.
Yeah.
The word and God is the same. So that's what we have to speak. We have to speak that into the atmosphere, that God and his word is the same. So if a person want to really get to know God, get in his word. Abide in his word. Not an ideal, but in his word. That's to the point. And then begin to speak that. Speak the language of faith. That is your substance. That's what you relying on, not the, see, you got a lot of people, I want you all to hear this, you got a lot of people believe in God, but they don't know one God from another. What distinguishes one God from another? Because you say, oh, this almighty God, what that mean? They feel like their God is almighty.
I'm confused, Pastor. There's only one God.
No, baby. Let's read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to show y'all this. Well, we're going to read 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4.
Second Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, if our message is obscure to anyone, not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable God of darkness. They think he can give them what they want, and that they won't have to bother believing a truth, they can't see. They're stone blind, so the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Amen.
Amen.
He says, in whom the God of this world, that's what the fourth verse is, there is a God of this world. That's why the Bible tells us, be in the world, but don't be of the world. Come out, be ye separated. Remember we talked about Colossians 3, the remnants of the world? Most folks think God is based on stuff. Because if they lose their stuff, they lose their God. Most folks want God to answer them through stuff. Like, well, you know, God, he blessed me with this, and he blessed me with that. I know that was God. Well, no, baby, hold up. The God of this world have power to do that. Now, that may rub some of you all wrong, but if the Bible said there is a God of this world, it would behoove us to know what kind of power he got. He got the power to blind the mind of them which believe not. And because you say you believe, doesn't mean you believe. Because people have told you you're a believer, that make you a believer. Because you told yourself you're a believer, don't make you a believer. It says, in whom the God of this world, little g, in whom the word God of this world. Well, that's a study all by itself. All by itself. Finding out who the God of this world is. Because it ain't God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you got to know that Adam sold everything to Satan. He gave that. He gave his whole world.
Wow.
Satan. Adam was over this whole thing, and he gave it to Satan. And he tried to trick Jesus the same way over there in Matthew 4. He took Jesus up and said, look at all of this here. I give this to you. It's mine to give because I am the God of this world. Go ahead and read it. And he has it. And that's when Jesus reminded him of who his daddy was. He began to speak it. That's why it's important, brothers and sisters, that we learn what the word of God say and not what we think or feel. He says, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. So there is a God of this world.
And there is two gods.
And his name is Lucifer.
Oh,
we can do a study on that.
We
got
him the devil.
His name Lucifer, the devil. He's the God of this world. He's Satan. He got a whole bunch of names. He don't have one name.
Okay.
But understand, he's a God.
Huh?
Is that right, Pastor?
That's right, Pastor.
Yeah,
he got a lot
God.
Of people deceived.
Yeah, see, that's why a lot of people worshiping the remnants of the world, that's the God they worship. They don't know they worshiping Satan because they blind.
Mm-hmm.
Their minds are blind. Going up into these buildings and they think God is the hanging chandelier. They think God is, man, look, how could we have this? If we wasn't serving God. No, Satan will give you that stuff. If you stay with him, he'll give you that. He has the power to give you that. He got the power to literally blind your mind. Can you imagine you walk around here like Stevie Wonder? Can't see nothing. He keeps everything away from you. That's what blindness does. You won't see the light. So he got a lot of people blind. Unless the glorious gospel of Christ shines through. There's another reason you need to be in Christ. See?
Yeah.
It's not any kind of gospel, but it's the glorious gospel of Christ. I read that over there in that fourth verse. And that's how y'all read that? It wasn't the gospel of Jesus now. It said the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, unless the glorious gospel of Christ, you won't see this stuff. All of this, all of what I'm talking about is foreign to a lot of people because all they want to do is see Jesus. They don't want to see the Christ, the Spirit. They don't want to see that part. They just want to see the flesh. They cool. Mm-hmm. They content. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there is a God of this world, and we may have to get into it next week. But in one translation, he says, Satan, who is the God of this world. Let me see, what translation did I read that out of? Satan. Huh?
Yeah, that's the New Living Translation.
The New Living Translation.
Yeah. I can read that verses 3 and 4. It says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind veils, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen.
Yeah. Satan, who is the god of this world. And, you know, we can go through a lot of, I can give you a whole lot of scriptures, let you research them. And at the end of the day, he's going to be Lucifer. It's going to be Satan. How he lost his name. See, as Satan began to fall, he lost his name. And I want to get into that today. We'll get into that another lesson. But he went from being, but you got to know, man, that Satan is Lucifer. You got to know that he is the god of this world. See, Satan ain't playing games. You might think he is. Satan ain't playing. He got folks being religious. But at the end of the day, trust me, Satan got some names. When I tell you it's important that you put faith in the word of God totally, it's very important, brothers, because you don't want to be deceived. The last thing you want to do is be deceived. Because, see, when sin, Satan is the cause of sin, for those that don't know. Because, see, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But let me tell you this. Satan has angels. Oh, really? Yes. Satan has angels, man. That's what kind of God he is.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are fallen angels. And you don't have to believe me. I'm asking you to go to the Word of God and learn these great truths. Go to the Word of God. The Bible says Satan and his angels. Now, did y'all hear that? Satan and his angels. That's just like me saying Pastor Bell and her kids. Pastor Bell and her kids. The Bible says Satan and his angels. Those are his angels.
Mm-hmm.
So before he was fallen, he described over there in Ezekiel as being one of the cherubim angels. He had a lot of power. But his name got changed unto the devil. Lucifer became the devil.
Amen.
And then he became Satan. I can give you all the scriptures. Then remember, he's the prince of the power of the air. Who you think they talking about when they talk about the prince of the power of the air? Who you think they talking about? When you talk about the old serpent, who you think they talking about? When they talking about the prince of the demons, when they talking about your adversary, talking about the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the god of this world. He's the prince of this world. Jesus acknowledged him. Said, hey, he come to judge. But it wasn't Jesus' time to handle Satan because Satan was doing everything he can to stop salvation from coming to us. Matter of fact, I'm gonna do one more scripture. I'm going to do two more scriptures just to prove Satan's existence. One of them is Revelations 12 and 10. That's just one of the references. I can go to a whole lot of references, but we're going to do Revelations 12 and 10 and also John 8:44. I just want to make sure that we know there is a God of this world, and that's why we have to separate it. And that's why these worldly churches, don't y'all hear me all the time talk about worldly churches? That means Satan over them churches. See? But in
Revelation 12 and 10.
Revelations 12 and 10.
Yes, Revelations 12 and 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And the message, Bible. Then I heard a strong voice out of heaven saying, salvation and power are established, kingdom of our God, authority of his Messiah, the accuser of our brothers and sisters thrown out, who accused them day and night before God.
Amen.
Amen. You know who they? You know what they're talking about? They're talking about Satan, Lucifer. That's he. That's what he does. He accuses us. He's the devil. He accuses us before God. Not that God's trying to hear it, but as being the God of this world. And y'all got to know, too, that God is fair. He's just. God has to be just even to the unjust. God has to be right even to those that are wrong.
Amen.
Yeah.
But in John 8:44, read that.
John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, it is. Amen. From the Message Bible. I'm going to begin with 42 to get the whole gist of 44. It says, if God were your father, said Jesus, you would love me, for I came from God and arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word I say? Here's why. You can't handle it. You're from your father, the devil, and all you want to do is please him. He is a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. Amen.
Amen.
See, people that can't stand the truth is of the devil. That's what that scripture said. How do you say that? That's and they're going to do, and Satan is a father. A father is somebody that produces. Different than a daddy. He's a father. He produced lies. He birthed liars, doubters.
Yeah.
That's Satan's area. But believe me, anytime y'all want to, finish that discussion, we'll do it. But right now, it's important that you know, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. That's why it's important that you know what you're being led and who you're being led. And what you be led by. It's a lot of spirits out here, man. So it's important that you do that. Don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat yourself out of what's yours.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else have any other comments? Anything anybody want to share?
Yes, Pastor. I want to go back to Revelation. 12, and I believe this is also part of, it looks like it might be more than 10, so I'm going to start with where I dropped off at. It says, they defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. I'm reading from the Message Bible. It says they weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. So rejoice, O heaven, and all who live there, but doom to earth and sea, for the devils come down on you with both feet. He's had a great fall. He's wild and raging with anger. He hasn't much time, and he knows it. Amen. That was 11 and 12. Amen.
Now, what was that out of, Pastor?
That was from the Message Bible, Pastor.
If you could you read, I gave, that was Revelation 12 and 10, right?
12 through 13, 11 through 13.
Yeah, well, I had gave y'all Revelation 12 and 10.
Mm-hmm. So let me see, that probably was, I wanted to bring out the fact that he was, it tells us here that it says doomed to the earth, and then it says, for the devil's come down on you with both feet. He had a great fall. And then it says he's wild and raging with anger, and it tells us why, because he hasn't much time. So, yes, he's stirring up all that he can stir up. So, but reading it from the New Living Translation, beginning with verse 10, then I heard a loud voice shouting across heaven, it has come at last, salvation and power, and the kingdom of God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down on you in great wrath, anger. For the devil has came down on you in great anger, knowing that he had little time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, like I said, we'll get into this, brothers and sisters. Anyone, like, you know, for those that really want to get into it, y'all let me know. We'll have a little, you know, something. We can always do it online. I prefer to do it online. You can always go back and listen. You can always, because sometimes people say this and say that. Well, you can always go back and check things and correct things. But I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There is a God of this world, and his name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. He's been called the accuser of the brethren.
Amen.
And when you read the book of Revelation, for instance, it tells what have happened, what is happened, and what is going to happen. So things have to be put in the right perspective. At this time, in particular, Satan had been defeated and had been thrown out of heaven. Now he down there dealing with the brethren. But thank be to God, Jesus defeated him and made him an open show, according to the book of Colossians. So the power got back into the hands of Jesus, all the power in the world. How I know that? Matthew 28. We won't go there. But he said, now y'all can go into all the world and preach the gospel. All power is in my hand. Power in heaven, power in earth. He got it back. But before Jesus did that, and before he defeated the devil, Satan was the god of this world. He still is the god of this world. But he just don't have power over them that believe. He don't have no power over us that believe. Now, in people that don't believe, he's still their god. He's still their god. Yes, he is. I know it's hard for a lot of people, but it's God. I tell them it's hard, but it's God. You got to know it. You got to know, brothers and sisters, that there's two gods. Matter of fact, I might be, one day the Lord let me just teach on the two. Because, see, it's two gods, like it's two righteousness. It's two, just about everything. So, but it's up to you to separate the difference. It's up to you to make the difference, to distinguish the two, to what is God and what's not God. And the only way you can do that is according to the word of God. Well, I said I was going to read just two scriptures now. We got to go to Hebrews 4. Woo! I'm going to go to Hebrews 4 and 12, and for real, I'm going to let y'all go. But I got to read this, Hebrews 4 and 12. It says, for the word of God is quick. That means alive. And not only is it alive, but powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. And the 13th verse says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked, open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. You got to deal with God. You got to deal with God. And everything, the word of God sees everything. I know it's kind of hard for a lot of people, but the word of God sees everything. That's what he said. He says it's alive. Mm-hmm. The word of God is not dead, people. The word of God is alive, and it sees everything, don't miss nothing, and it talks about how sharp it is. Do you realize it pierces even the dividing of soul and spirit? That's how some people can't even know the difference between the soul and the spirit. They think the soul is what the spirit is, and the spirit is what the soul is, and it's not true. It's a difference. But the only way you can divide the two is with the word of God. Even the joints and the marrow. Doctors will tell you that even with lasers, they can't touch one without touching the other. That's how close your joints and marrow is. But the word of God can separate it and never touch one or the other. Woo, that ought to get you excited right there, man. Especially you people in the medical field, when you know how close the joints and marrow is. And then I like the fact that he's a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. That's what the word of God can do. So when you're in the word, all this stuff becomes yours. When you're in Christ, all this becomes yours. You have that advantage over your peers.
Amen.
But if nothing else, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank each and every one of you all. Come on with your questions, your answer, whatever you like to hear, whatever you have the Lord is leading you to share, or you want us to talk on it or be part of it. That's what we're here for, because we want everybody to have good understanding, not know just like, you know, a word to hear. Because I remember when I was growing up, people wouldn't even talk about the book of Revelation. And my first sermon I ever preached in my life came out the book of Revelation. But when I was growing up, you know, this is years and years ago, I'm talking, I ain't going to tell y'all my age, but you know, going way back. Well, 50-some years ago, people, they didn't want you to preach out the book of Revelation, and people are still afraid because they're of the devil. God wants
Amen.
You to know the whole truth. He ain't got a problem with it. But anyway, I love you guys, and we'll see you all Sunday for the review.